You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A quick warning that this next story contains light mentions of abuse. Feel free to switch to another station for a while if you're uncomfortable with that. The Royal Commission of Inquiry's case into abuse and care of the disabled, deaf folks, and people who have suffered mental distress has recently concluded. This has revealed some horrific details found in health institutions, with patients undergoing mental, physical, and sexual abuse. There have also been reports of undertrained staff who consistently have mistreated those who are most vulnerable. To learn more, I have spoken to CCS Disability Action's Debbie Ward about the report, first asking about what exactly the Abuse and Care Inquiry is and what it is trying to achieve.
So this inquiry is really to hear the voice of disabled people, deaf people, and people who experienced mental distress that were spent times in government or state care institutions. And although those institutions have now closed, the effect and the impact of those experiences of those disabled people have been lifelong experiences. And the inquiry is an opportunity for them to have their voice heard about what happened to them, to share their story, and for the families to share their stories, and for just lost my train of thought then.
You're good.
Yeah. Just for their voices and their stories to be heard, and you know, made public as well, and you know, to prevent this sort of thing ever happening again in our country.
Without going into too much detail, what sort of issues has the inquiry revealed?
The issues the inquiry has revealed has been obviously issues of all types of abuse and neglect by workers that were working in those institutions, by medical professionals in those institutions and those places of care. Just the isolation and the sense of abandonment that people felt as a result of being in those places.
Why have disabled voices been so silenced over the years?
The one thing that institutional care does over the years is it, if you think about where all the most of the institutions have been in the country, have been out in the country behind big gates or hedges or on farms, and has always been those people that live there or that place, and have not been seen or present. It's been hidden away from society. And then the oppression, I guess, that people felt when they came back out into the community, their voices were so suppressed, and I think there was quite a high level of ignorance as well around from society and community around what might have been happening behind those closed doors and fences.
What sort of efforts are you guys currently making to stop abuse of disabled communities?
Well, we're a rights-based organisation, and we and an advocacy organisation, and we want to support and enable the rights of disabled people, and for people to be people that we support to be advocates and self-advocates for their rights as well, and hold agencies accountable and not suppress or hide what we might, if we see anything, but keep it, bring it to the light. Let the appropriate authorities know when we might be suspecting or seeing abuse or neglect happening.
Is there anything that everyday people of Aotearoa can be doing right now to support disabled communities?
I think the biggest thing that people of Aotearoa can do to support disabled people in their communities is just see disabled people as just citizens and participating citizens and contributing citizens to our society that is, you know, there's a skilled workforce within the disabled community. Disabled people, you know, have the same desires as anybody to be contributing and participating and included in their communities and not to be hidden away. And when our society excludes us and disabled people, by having inaccessible places, then we cannot be seen and have the same rights to access everyday places.
What sort of movements have been made to hopefully see better changes made for disabled rights across the country?
I think there's been quite a few changes. One of the, most significant changes has been just recently the launch of Whaikaha, Ministry of Disabled People. Finally, governments recognise that disabled people want and need their own ministry that will help other governments hold other government departments accountable for how disabled people are treated. The other thing is that New Zealand was really led the way with the development and signing and ratifying the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Disabled People. And it's only as early as the mid-1990s that actually discriminating against a person on the grounds of them having a impairment or being disabled is now unlawful. So that's, so there's been a lot of change, and that change has come through disabled people and allies really advocating and agitating and being activists in our community for that change to happen. The Royal Commission are really interested to hear the stories of people that have physical impairments or physical disability who have experienced living in state care in the past, and they really would like to hear your story, those stories as well.
That was CCS Disability Action's Debbie Ward on the Abuse in Care Royal Commission inquiry.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.